Yeah. And what an opportunity we have to celebrate who he is. And that does encourage you to be sure you look at the bulletin. A lot of interesting things happening in the next couple of weeks here. Especially you men, get this out. He was a policeman in Harrisburg for many years. Tim Carter is going to be speaking to us. And so bring your sons and your grandsons and whatever to this time. But we have a lot of good things. And then, with Tuesday a week, we're starting a midweek on Tuesday. Everybody say Tuesday. Tuesday is our time instead of Wednesday. Why are we doing this? Because the deacons made a decision that we need to conserve. And on Tuesday, started this week, was our homeschoolers. Came 125, filled this place, and learn more about God and go change the world for good. That's going on every Tuesday here. And so the air conditions are here, heat's here in the winter time. And we decided that it'd be better to move to Tuesday instead of Wednesday. Then we don't have to heat the church up. Don't you think that's a good thought? Amen. Save the church some money. Everybody say, save money. That's what we're determined to do. And so thank the Lord for the opportunity we have to adjust. September. Did we ever believe the end of the summer is here? My God. It's right here upon us today. Yeah, September. Yeah, kids going, children going back to school and all that good stuff. And finalizing vacation. Just pray with our family as all of them are coming together. Earl and Joy come in today. And all of my siblings are together. And we're going to be having a good week here with seeing what the Holy Spirit has for us in this regard. I have a real passion in my heart. My theme of my message is pursuing a life of righteousness, or chasing a life of righteousness. Living an unleavened life. Everybody say that. Living an unleavened life. I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm 51. And let me read, and then 1 Corinthians 5, 6. Put your finger there. And then I want you to read also 1 Corinthians 5, 6 and 7 and 8. If we could hear this morning as our text. And we'll see what the Holy Spirit is up to. Psalms 51. A powerful word of the Lord for us here. My whole desire is that as you heard us teach last week on Holy Communion, and I never in my 50 years in preaching saw it quite that way, that we had Holy Communion, and it was called the bread of His presence, and then also it's called the bread of His faith. And so I have a new desire to take Holy Communion. Is because I want to see His face. I want to know His presence. That He's with me constantly. And that's what Holy Communion was. And I just thank God for that revelation last week that He gave us. Now, in Psalms 51, have mercy on me, O God, according to Your unfailing love. According to Your great compassion, blot out my transgression. Wash away all my iniquities. Cleanse me. Cleanse me from my sins. For I know my transgression and my sin is always before me. Against You only have I sinned and done that is evil in Your sight, so that You are proved right when You speak and justified when You judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time of my mother conceived me. And surely that You desire truth in the inward parts, You teach me wisdom in the innermost place. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear the joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities and create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence or take thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. Or restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a free spirit. Then I will teach transgressors the ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. My dear brothers and sisters, I am seeing something that I have not seen before. It's crucial for you and I to be a holy and a righteous people so sinners will be converted. It's important that you walk in the ways of righteousness and holiness so sinners will be converted. That jumped out at me and I said, man, this is one of the most powerful scriptures for Mission Sunday that I have ever had. You know, living an unleavened life. Now, go over to 1 Corinthians 5, 6, 7, and 8. Very interesting. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, and you are as you are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with an unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. We are going to learn how to keep the leaven of what? Sincerity, an unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So, what does that really mean? I believe it's high time that we be men and women of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is He. How many can say amen to that? How many of us have the Lord Jesus Christ living within us? And we can say, thank you, Jesus, for saving my life. Is there anyone in the house that is thankful for salvation in Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. But then, if we have Him in our lives, then we need to understand something. I'm going to give you some scriptures here to help you to see the importance of why we need to live holy and righteous life today. And we have a power within us to do so. I said, we have a power to live a righteous and holy life within us. That's the problem. So many of us don't believe that. Help me, Jesus. Prove. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Sanctify you partly? What does holy mean? Every part of you. How many can say amen? Sanctify you wholly, and I pray your whole spirit, your whole soul and body be preserved blameless. Everybody say preserved blameless. Unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful as He has called you, He also will, what? Do it! Folks,
you to know we have a God in heaven that has set you free from all your sins, and He has given us a spirit and a power to help us to live a righteous and holy life. I tell you what, I'm excited about this. I need this truth. If anybody else does, you can just journey along with me. 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again. Begotten, that means birthed us. When you're birthed into something, you're there. How many can say amen to that? Unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Look at this. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through what? Faith. Unto salvation. Kept. Everybody say kept. I want to help you to see that there is an anointing of God's power, His keeping power for us today in Jesus' name, for every last one of us. 1 Peter 1:22, seeing you have purified your souls. Everybody say purified your souls. In obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with what kind of heart? Pure heart. Fervently. I love those adjectives. Pure heart. Being born again, not of what? Of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. God help me. Incorruptible seed. Who are kept by the power of God, born again of not a corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Everybody say incorruptible. Say it again. Incorruptible. That alone is incorruptible. I love that. Incorruptible. By the what? Word of God. Was what? Liveth and abideth just now. Forever. Forever. So what is leaven? Let's look at that just for a few moments here. What is leaven? The question is fairly here answered for us. Leaven is a picture, a plan of salvation in a more complex and remarkable picture that God gives for us in His Word. I thank God for His pictures that He gives to us. Leaven really is understanding that there is that yeast that is in the bread that causes it to rise. And you women know a lot about that. You know, don't take much for that yeast when it's in the dough, it causes it to get throughout the whole dough. And that's what it's talking about. And so, what we are discovering here in 1 Corinthians, Paul is telling us that we need to purge out the old leaven, that we may be a new lump. And I was just thinking as I was studying this of what Brother Justin Marcus has been teaching us here concerning we are the new wineskins for the new oil. The outpouring of God's Spirit, you know. And now Paul is saying here that we are a new lump. Okay, let's say we are a new lump. You get the picture, you know, of that bread, you know. A new lump, hallelujah, that does not have appearance. We're staying away from all appearance of evil. And Peter said, you know, I love that. Inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that doesn't fade away. And he goes on to purify your souls and obeying the truth I pray that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, what does the Bible teach us here about the picture of leaven? And I just want to have us to look at this here just for a few moments here, if you could, this morning, and get some revelation. What does the Bible teach here? Could something so commonplace, amazing, an important, such an important spiritual metaphor that God actually defined a whole holy week for us to celebrate around, the Passion Week we're talking about. Because Christ is our Passover lamb. How many can say amen to that? The Bible so beautifully tells us that. Has already been sacrificed once and for all. It was said a couple times here this morning. You know, that He's done it. He's done it. Why should we go back and have Him crucify Himself again? No. But when we do wrong, we crucify Himself again. We crucify Christ again by our doings and that. But no, Christ, He was once and for all the old leaven of sin consciousness. I love this. Which was upheld by the law has already been thoroughly removed from us. How many can say amen? We don't have to be sin conscious anymore. Is that what you're saying, Pastor? According, maybe I should take this off. Praise God. Turn me off on that other one there. What do we mean by that? On the basis alone, you are able now to be permanently rid yourselves of all the old leaven mindset. How many can say amen to that? Permanently. And thank God for it. And realizing that we don't have to be tottering in sin and out of sin, in sin and out of sin anymore. Because He washed us white as snow. There to remember our sins against us no more. Turn with me to Romans, if you would, just for a moment here. Romans 8. Let's just look at this here beautiful passion of Scripture here in Romans, the 8th chapter. I love God's Word. So beautiful. He explains this very principle for us. Romans 8, starting with verse number 9. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature. Paul is speaking here. You're not, however, controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you. That's a big if. I mean, can say amen. We have to constantly remind ourselves who we are. Whose we are. The Spirit of God, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, is He? That's a question I put to every one of you. Is Christ in you? But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin. Sin don't operate in you. Yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through His Spirit who lives in you. How many can say amen? I'm going to receive that life. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to be, not to the sinful nature. What, he goes on to tell us, but it is not to be sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live, if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. If you operate, if you choose, make a choice to keep operating in sin's nature, in the old Adamic nature, you're going to die. And only brings death. According to that. But, thank God for the buts in the English language. I learned in school that that word but cancels out everything prior to it. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for the English language. But it cancels out. If by the Spirit you put to death, that's your part. By what? By the Spirit. You can't do it on your own, folks. Oh, God, make this real to us. You put to death. You put to death. You put to death. Tell your neighbor, you put to death. You put to death. It's our responsibility to understand our identity and speak against those things that come against us when Satan tries to overcome us. No, but the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body. You will live. You will live because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. How many are led by the Spirit of God? All of us should have our hands up, my dear brothers and sisters. Amen. We are the children of God. We are the ones that every time we go, we dispel darkness. Hallelujah. Darkness cannot stay where God's light is shining. I tell you what, I'm having fun. I don't know about you, but I'm having fun in this dark world to let the light shine. Amen. A city that is on a hill cannot be hid. How many can say amen? If Christ really lives in you, you can't help but give a smile in the midst of the storm. Why? Because Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by what? The faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for what you did for us. We give you the praise and the glory. So, the new covenant is the new lump of dough without a trace of leaven of the old system because it was done away with in Christ. How many can say amen? He done away with it. The mindset, introduced and sustained by the law in the very reputation of these ritual sacrifices and awareness of guilt and is reinforced rather than removed. But turn with me to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. I need to go here with you because this is amazing how the Hebrew writer, he helped us to understand what Christ did when he gave himself as a supreme sacrifice to cancel out the atoning work that was supposed to be done in the Old Testament. And now, thank God, he was willing to be the supreme sacrifice for you and I to redeem us back to God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Let's hang on for a moment here. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and let's start with verse number 4. Because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. All right? The atonement, they had to sacrifice the animals. It had to be a bloody thing all through the wilderness journeys, all through the Old Testament time. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you do not desire, but a body thou hast prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, here I am, it is written about me in the scroll. I will come to do your will, O God. He came to do the will of the Father. How many could say amen to that? First he said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made. Then he said, here am I. I have come to do your will. He sets aside the first to establish the second. Very interesting. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Let me read that
Let's read it all together. Because, verse 14, because, let's read it again. Because, oh, is it up there yet? He's getting it, okay. Maybe you have it in your Bible. Because by one sacrifice, he was made perfect, sacrificing with him forever those who are being made holy. One sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Because of what Jesus has done, my brothers and sisters, you are made holy. You are a holy being. Here in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania. And thank God for it. That's why Paul said, I determined to know nothing about you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Oh, I pray that we can have that kind of understanding. And Hebrews goes on to tell us some beautiful things there. The restoration of God's original dwelling place is in the life of every human being. That is where He creates His sanctuary now. My God, if I can dare to believe that. And so the high priest, his permission to enter the holy place was not secured by the blood of beast, no, but by His own blood, He obtained access in behalf of you and I. Jesus became the high priest, the perfect redemption. Therefore, there are no outstanding debts against us anymore. Oh, God, help us to believe this. No outstanding debts. He paid it all. Oh, come on now. He paid it all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is nothing we need to do or to add weight to what He has accomplished once and for all for you and I to be complete, holy, and righteous before Him. Why don't you get up and give a shout and praise Him right now for this very thing. Hallelujah. Because of what He has done, you are complete in Him. Hallelujah. I can't do anything more but accept the finished work that He has done on Calvary. I am holy, I am righteous, amen, and I can go forth in victory this hour over all sin and over all demonic powers because of what He has done for you and I. Dare we believe it, amen. You may be seated. Got a hot potato this morning. I don't know where we're all going with it, but I tell you what, I love it. Now, no blood, just fruit. No blood, no more blood. Ah, just fruit. Even no acts on our part anymore. No sin conscious system anymore. We live a life of righteousness and holiness and we can go on, and there's so much on this very thing concerning, you know, how in the Old Testament God made a way for Moses, you know, to take them out of Egypt bondage. And they came through the Red Sea, and the first thing they had to do when they came out of Egypt bondage was take unleavened bread. Very interesting. It was a type. What Jesus was going to be doing for them. Remember, they had to put the blood on the doorpost and all. But they had for 7 days no leaven whatsoever was supposed to be in that bread. And because it represented Him, and thank God. So why would God use leaven as a subject to set aside special days and holy to Him? Leaven, oh my, helps us to understand really His grace and His love and His mercy. And thank God for it. And we give Him the praise. We give Him the honor that
they were able to defeat all of Pharaoh's power for 400 years, all because they did not put any leaven in their bread, because God wanted them to see what we're seeing here today. And so we celebrate with them freedom from sin, power. Sin's power, Egypt's power was destroyed from his people. I mean, you say amen. When he went through the sea and he came out, that type of water baptism that is so beautiful. So you shall observe and understand this. So leaven is a picture of sin. Just try to summarize this. Leaven. Now God, Paul said, but God be thanked that through you were, though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that former doctrine in which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, that's Romans 6, 17 and 18, having been set free from sin. I want you to say, I've been set free from sin. What? Let's say it one more time. That sounds too good just to say one time. I've been set free from sin. Satan's power does not have anything over me. Because I am a slave to righteousness. Oh, hallelujah! Amen! Thank God! And so we need to understand that righteousness, what does that mean? Behavior that is morally justifiable and right. Behavior that is a high standard of morality, of justice, virtue, and uprightness. We don't have to be fighting. We don't have to be warring. No, all we do, we go forth an army of love, an army of peace, amen, to this dark and sinful world and show to them the mighty manifestation of who God is. And the Bible standards of human righteousness is God's own perfection, folks. We can't do it on our own. How many can say amen? It's Christ's own perfection. That's his standard of righteousness. So every attitude, every behavior, every word is under the scrutiny of God's law in our lives. And from this day forward, with his help, we're going to speak the words of God. We can't go back to that old system anymore in Jesus' name. How many can say amen? We can't go back to that old way anymore. I found a new way of living. I found a new life divine. I have the fruit of the Spirit. I'm abiding. Everybody say abiding. I'm abiding in the vine. Hallelujah. Joy and peace is mine as I abide in the vine. Yes, and so it's very, very important. Hypocrisy is another leaven. We can be pure. We don't have to say that we're believers and then don't love and then don't help people out. And Jesus had a lot to say against that very thing. And leaven is a picture of disobedience. Disobedience. When God speaks to our hearts, don't say it that way. I don't know about you, but I tell you, he's going deep in this old boy's life. And watching my words. Watching what I say. Watching even how I say it. Amen. Very, very important. Oh, God help us. So, are you leavened? I want to close with this. Are you leavened? Are you biblically leavened? Pastor, what do you mean by that? This is what I mean by that. Do I still live a sinful life in God's eyes? Do I still allow some sin in me, then that means there's leaven in there. Have I learned to worship God in spirit and in truth? Do I operate out of that unleavened bread of truth and sincerity of heart? Am I living a hypocritical life? Saying I'm a believer and then don't do what God's Word tells me to do? Am I truly, spiritually unleavened? Do I observe the standard
this represents God's word. Master, which is the greatest commandment? They asked Jesus in Matthew 22. Jesus said, this is the greatest commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy might. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And Jesus said, this hangs all the law and the prophets. Meaning, it fulfills, brings to completion. I tell you what, the Holy Spirit has been really speaking to my heart. Do I really love God that way? You know, I believe when we as God's people come to that place, we're going to see, we've been seeing God's miracles. How many can say amen? It's been interesting in the last a couple months how we have seen God's grace. He's been kissing us, folks. I want you to know. He's been showing us that He is alive today to see Bill and Eleanor back there sitting and not in pain. I mean, it's a, let's give the Lord another hand for Bill and Eleanor back there. Man, I mean, that's... That's exciting. But folks, I don't know about you. I don't want to stop this. I don't want to be a hindrance in any way that God won't continue to do what He said He would do if we humble ourselves and if we bow down before Him and say, Lord, take out of our lives everything. I may be living there. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let us keep the feast. Philip's translation of 1 Corinthians 5:8. Let us keep the feast with no trace of yeast of the old life, nor the yeast of vice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of unadulterated truth. Let my life be truth. I just want us to use our pew as an altar, if we would, at this time. I just want you to kneel front or do something there and say, Lord, here I am. But as He which has called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of living. Be holy in all manner of living. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and rest upon your hope fully upon the grace that is being wrought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lust, as in your ignorance, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Lord, as we all make our hearts an altar here today, Lord God, we want to thank you for speaking to us, O God. Thank you for coming into our understanding. Purge us. Renew us, remake us. May this truth of you have done everything that we can have righteousness, holiness, and your character being revealed in our lives. We are saying that today, O God, that we want to be this people in this hour, to show to our family, to show to our friends, to show to our community that they too can live a life completely surrender to you, and that they too can live a holy life by you helping us to live a holy life and seeing ourselves complete in you, Lord. We rest in that truth today. Thank you, Lord. Just tell the Lord right now what you want him to do for you. Hallelujah. Make it real to my heart, O God. Stamp thy image deep on my heart, O God. Stamp it deep on our hearts today, we pray. Thank you, Lord. Just thank him right now for doing it. Just thank him for making that real to your heart.